The fellow that came today had lots of questions. He wanted to ask questions. There's always questions that people have in their heart. Just recently I noticed a book laying around. I looked on the front of it, it was laying around, and it said questions and answers. And people who have questions, they like to get answers. And we like to try to deal with it as much as we can as to question and answers. So tonight, we're going to do that all over again and give you a chance to ask some questions, if you'd like to ask some questions. You know, preachers deal with human spirits and with human minds. And of course, we're always doing that. Always dealing with the human mind. That's why that a man should be very careful when he says he is a minister. He should know what he's speaking of. He is dealing with the human mind. And if he carelessly does something wrong, he can wreck a human life. He can wreck a human life. Ministers are not out to brainwash people. As a matter of fact, people don't have dirty brains. God made their brain in good order, and He's kept it in good order. They have dirty minds, dirty spirits. So we're not out to brainwash people, but we are out to do one thing, and that is to wash the infiltration or the contamination out of your system, out of your spirit, and the spirit wash you by the washing of the water of regeneration. We want to wash your spirit because you are born into this world as a sinner. And you're born with the infiltration within your body, within your mind. And you are filthy in the sight of God to the extent that you have to be swaddled by the word of God. You have to be washed. You have to be cleansed, and we are out to cleanse you, to wash you. Because if you are not a Christian, you are dirty and filthy on the inside. You are filled with corruption and deceit. And the Bible said the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for out of it comes forth the issues of life. And even when you become a Christian, and God goes into your heart to wash and to cleanse your heart, you still are in the world as to your body. And Satan, being the prince of this world, is continually oppressing your mind and attacking your body, your human senses, to gender thoughts in your thinking. As to your thinking capacity, he is suppressing you to bring about thoughts that are degraded thoughts, that are unclean thoughts, that are blasphemous thoughts. And he's always pressing you to gender these thoughts in your thinking, to cause you to be unclean in the sight of God. But because God has washed your spirit, sealed your spirit inwardly with the Holy Spirit, then never at any time in your Christian life does Satan touch you. The Bible said, he that is born of God cannot sin, for God's seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the Bible said, the evil one toucheth him not, because he keepeth himself by the seal of God, by the seal of the great loving Holy Spirit. He keepeth himself, and the devil never at any time spots him or causes a blemish in his life. He is complete in Christ. So then we have this wonderful seal of the great Spirit over our spirit, or as I've tried to express it through an allegoric means as to given an example or an illustration, it's like this that they put into a fabric. It's a certain chemical thing that has a chemical reaction, and it's called safeguard. You put it into a fabric, and it becomes interwoven with the fabric, and because it is interwoven with the fabric, then that means that stains cannot penetrate to stain the fabric. So we have Christ's Spirit as the interwoven goodness and godliness of his cleanliness in our spirit. Our spirit is interwoven with the safeguard. And because of that, never in our entire lifetime as to our Christian experience, never one time does Satan ever touch our spirit. He can aggravate our natural mind as to our human senses because our body is alive in the natural. But to God, our body is not alive. It is dead. It is buried in a watery grave in the lovely name of His darling Son, Jesus Christ, the only name given unto heaven that hath remission of sin in it. And so then, in that the minister has the power to remit sin, and the name hath remission of sin in it, and water is for the remission, then put those three things together. And God, as He said to Paul, go down to the street called Straight, God, through the ministry, washes away the sins. Paul, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins, for it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then, being buried in a watery grave with the Lord Jesus, as into His death, and that He is the one that died for us, being buried with Him in death, we are raised again as to the resurrection in Christ. He, having been delivered for our offenses to Calvary, and then delivered again from the grave for our justification, as proof that we are clean and holy before God. So then, in this, God never sees our body again. We consider ourselves to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus, and alive by the resurrection of the new form, in that the Bible said He appeared in another form in His resurrection. We are then appearing in another form as the glorious Christ, who is a quickening spirit. And God never again knows us after the flesh. And He tells us not to know one another after the weaknesses, as to the stumblings and staggerings of the flesh, to accuse one another, but to know them as to the grace of God, making allowance, praying and helping them, that they might be established in the faith. And it says that we have known Jesus after the flesh, but we don't know Him anymore after the flesh. He is dead now to the flesh, in that He was made sin, that's gone forever. We know Him now as a quickening spirit, as to the resurrection and the life, even Almighty God. All right, so we see all of this, and it makes us thankful. It makes us to realize the great, mighty benefits of God, the love of God, the protection of God, the way that He has kept us. You love the Lord? Somebody say, I love You, Jesus. Praising the Lord. All right. Over in the islands, they always take off their shoes as a rule. I slipped mine off tonight. You didn't know that, did you? But I decided I would tonight. For some reason, I failed to do that, so I'm going to do it. One reason is it makes my feet feel a whole lot better. But tonight, I just failed to do that. God said to Moses one time, said, take the shoes off of your feet, the place wherein thou standest, it's holy. And sometimes God is moving by His Spirit, and great and mighty things is taking place. You know, it's sad to see someone that tells you that God mightily moved in their life at one time and isn't moving anymore. But I see that. Wherever I go, great, mighty warriors are falling. Great, mighty preachers are falling. Great and mighty men are falling everywhere. We used to sing that song, Hold the Fort, for I am coming, and it speaks of the great men falling. But if we hold on to the Lord, His grace is sufficient for us. I'm going to read this little portion of Scripture, and then I'm going to give you a chance to ask questions. And if you ask a question, it's to whatever's on your heart, we'll try to comment on it. Maybe we can answer more than one question. Sometimes we get stretched out on one, and we can't seem to get past that one, because we have to thoroughly answer it, in that this goes on tape and it goes all over the world. I think maybe Brother Taylor mentioned tonight that they're picking up our, we got word that they're picking up our message over the radio in the Bahamas. They're picking it up in a mighty way over in Jamaica. A lot of mail's coming out of Jamaica. And we've had them to pick it up in almost all of the islands and respond. It's been so wonderful because we've been blessed as to some saying that they got our program in Africa, some in London, some in the different parts of the world, almost all over the United States, everywhere. And there's hardly an island that we haven't heard from. God has really blessed us. In Ecclesiastes if you've got your Bibles, let's read in chapter 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun of the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong man shall bow themselves, and the grinders shall cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the door shall be shut in the street when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. And desire shall fail, and because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as gods and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. All right, I just felt like reading that to you. I had stood here and spoke to you about remembering your Creator in the days of the youth. And I didn't know that that was what was going to read. Like always, I never know what I'm going to read until I get up here. Okay. It says, please explain the difference between the gift of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That is, it seems to bring out several things here as to what it is. There is a difference. Someone would say, well, I don't see any difference. Well, if you don't, I understand, but there is a difference. Just let me explain it here. We'll explain it, and then if we want to, we can go to the scriptures for it. There is a difference. What is the difference? All right. When you come to God,
You must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You must have the infilling of the Spirit as to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have His Spirit. And if you don't have His Spirit, then you're none of His. As a little child, when it's born into the world, though it hath been born, in that it came through the usual channels as to a birth, but if it doesn't have Spirit, it doesn't have life. It is a still birth. So then there is a difference. What is the difference? The difference is being filled with the Spirit or having the gift of the Spirit. Now, when we look at it, we have to find Scripture for those things. When we consider this, we have to have Scripture. We can't just say those things. Like I told the man today, if I just say those things, you may have enough confidence in me to take my word for it, but that won't get you into heaven. You're saved by faith. And I remind you again that faith is not just believing. If you believe there's one God, you do well. The devils believe and tremble. So just mere believing will not take you to heaven. Joining a church and saying, I believe, or joining yourself with the believers as a believer, that don't take you to heaven. See, you're not saved just by believing. The Bible said you're saved by faith. And there's a world of difference in just believing and faith. I say this over and over to you so you keep it in your mind. The writer said, though I know you know these things, yet I stir up your mind toward these things that you might remember them. See, so when you speak of believing, you may believe that you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. You may believe because someone prayed for you that you are healed of cancer when you are dying of the disease. So you can believe, but you can believe a lie and be damned. See, so believing, that is not the answer. Because you may be believing a lie. Then what is the answer? Isn't believing the right way? Believing is the right way. But the right kind of believing is the right way. Then what is the difference in believing as to believing the wrong way and believing the right way? To believe a lie is to be damned, or to believe the wrong way. But to believe the truth, when you believe the truth, then you're believing the right way. And of course, when you believe the truth, then it brings salvation. So you are believing the truth. So I say, I'm believing. I say, well, what am I believing? Am I believing as to damnation in that I believe a lie? Or am I believing the truth? Now, if I believe a lie, I'm just listening to damnable heresies. I am observing lying vanities. For all is vanity, and all that I see is vanity. And the Bible says, if I observe lying vanities, then I forsake my own mercy. Because the vanities are contrary to the Word of God. So then I must believe what the Word of God says. That is truth, for the Bible said, my words are spirit and they are truth. So then I must believe the truth. When I believe the truth, I'm not then believing lying vanities, but I'm believing the truth. I'm believing the Word of God. So then in believing the truth, that is what faith is. That is what faith is called. When you differentiate between believing the truth or believing a lie and being damned, then you're coming to faith. Because faith is believing the truth. Faith is believing the Word of God. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word of God as to the promises of God, as to what God has told you in His Word, as to your conformities of life, as to His desires, as to what you are to be in Him. So then we hear the word, the Bible said, and the preacher preaches the word, and we hear the word, we believe the word, and then God sends the Spirit of the Word to seal your innermost being, because the Spirit of the Word is Christ's Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So then the Holy Ghost, no other ghost is holy. Your ghost is not holy. My ghost is not holy. When you say ghost, you're speaking of a person's spirit. A ghost is a personification of a spirit. You know, the spirits, God was a spirit without personification until he personified himself in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he became a ghost. As to the King James rendering, it is the ghost. And then in the ghost, it is a holy ghost. The only holy spirit. The only holy angelic being. Like it was said when Peter came out to the gate, rode a run out. He'd just gotten out of prison. And someone said, it's Peter. They said, no, it must be his ghost. It must be his angel or his spirit. So then the holy, there are holy angels. There are ugly, evil angels, fallen angels that are demon spirits. And then there is the Holy Ghost, the only true Holy Spirit as to a human personification. Never has been but one. That is Christ, his lovely spirit. And God said that you can speak against anything that you want to speak against, even speak against the body of Jesus. But one word spoken against the Spirit of Christ as to the angel, as to the Holy Ghost, I'll not forgive it, he said, in this world nor the world to come. So there is a difference in receiving the wonderful Holy Ghost or just being filled with the Spirit. See, if I am baptized with the Holy Ghost, then I have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? It is the gift of the Spirit of Christ, which is eternal life. Because there's no other spirit that hath eternal life except the Spirit of Christ. The Bible said in the promise that was given to Abraham was as unto one, not as unto many, but in Isaac shall the seed be called, which was pointing to Jesus, the promised Son. So then the Bible said he alone, he is heir to the glory of God. And it is he alone as his spirit, the angelic Christ in your heart, it is he alone that is your hope of glory. In that he is heir alone to the glory of God, then he's the only hope of you having that glory that he appeared in when he appeared on the mount in glory with Moses and Elijah. So then he is heir to the glory. So then when we are baptized with the Holy Ghost, what are we baptized with? It is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. If you'll notice, the gift of the Holy Ghost was not given until after Calvary. The reason is because the Bible says the Holy Ghost had not yet been given when it speaks before Calvary. It had not yet been given because Jesus had never died for the remission of sin. Therefore, remission being in his name, the Spirit could not return. Because he witnessed that when he, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, when he returns or when he comes back, he will testify of me. Even as my spirit, if it went to Brother Taylor, would testify of me. So then the Spirit of Christ would testify of Jesus. Because it is the Spirit of Jesus. The Spirit of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of Christ. He said, and he will come back. If I go not away, Jesus said, the Comforter cannot come. Or he could have said this. He could have said, as long as I'm here, I am the Comforter embodiment. I am the embodiment of Almighty God, and I am a human being as to flesh. And until this body goes away, it cannot release the inner spirit. Until you die, you cannot release your spirit. The Bible said, in the body without the spirit is dead, and you cannot release your spirit until you die. When you die, the Bible said, at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. So then, that is your ghost. It went away. When Jesus died, then the Spirit of Christ went away. And then he said, I go away, but I'll come again. And he spoke of it as to the Christ. The world shall not see me, but ye shall see me. For the Bible teaches the world cannot see when good cometh. But Satan, even the god of this world, Lucifer, hath blinded the eyes, even the eyes of understanding. By the infiltration of his own being, he hath blinded the eyes of the understanding that you cannot see when the good cometh. So when the Spirit of truth comes, he said the world won't see him because they don't have eyes to see.
Having eyes to see naturally, they don't have eyes to see spiritually. Having ears to hear naturally, they hear the sound of the ball games and the jumbled up music and whatever, but they don't have spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And the Bible said, let the church hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So then it's very obvious that the world cannot see. When he comes, the world shall not see him, but ye shall see him. And the Bible said, I go away that the Comforter may come, which was his Spirit. And when he enters into your heart, he will be a comforter. Many times through sorrows and heartaches of my own life and of that I have seen in the lives of others, many times I've seen the Comforter come to them in the time of bereavement. And I've seen this wonderful thing happen to them in a consolation that they could make it when otherwise they might have ended their life by suicide. This wonderful Comforter, who is he? He is our Savior. He is the Christ. This is what salvation is all about. If this Savior doesn't come into your heart, then you're not saved. Because the Bible said, he that hath not my Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, he hath not my Spirit, he is none of mine. So then, a lot of people say, well, you don't really have to be baptized with the Spirit of God as to receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. They say, you don't have to do that because you can just be a believer, or you can be filled with the Spirit. Or, you know, they'll give you two or three things, you know, and just as long as you're in that condition, then you are all right. You have eternal life. But that's all wrong. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. God sent me, and I'm speaking God's word. And God's word said, he that hath not my Spirit. And the Bible said, God is one. There's but one Spirit. And we're partakers of it according to the faith. And he that hath not my Spirit, he is none of mine. So then you must to have what would not be a still birth, but a living birth. You've got to have Christ's Spirit. You've got to be baptized with the wonderful Holy Ghost. Jesus went away. He breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he went away. He left the Spirit of God with them. After 10 days, the Spirit of God returned as Aaron ministered in the tabernacle of old, a type. The Spirit came back into their hearts, and today is officiating within this earthly tabernacle, in that Peter said, as long as I'm in this body or this tabernacle, referred to it as a tabernacle. So, the Spirit of God is within you, the gift of eternal life. For the Bible said the gift of God is eternal life, and that eternal life is with His Son and in His Son. And that means that the only eternal Spirit, the only Spirit that ever got past the sins of Adam to be eternal, was the Spirit of Christ. And if you have not Him, you don't have a hope of that eternal glory. So, we see then that in this, Christ's Spirit comes back as the Comforter. He comes into our heart. That is the gift of eternal life. Now, the Bible said to be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible said in certain places they were filled with the Spirit. God moved like a mighty rushing wind. The great Spirit of God came as on the day of Pentecost. They were moved with the Spirit. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. It set upon each of them as tongues of fire. And we preached the revelation of the tongues of fire and what the tongues meant as to other tongues. We spoke of this. We've got tapes where we preach this message. It's not at all like the general terms is used with the Pentecostals. It's not at all like that. But nevertheless, we see that the Spirit is here and that the tongues are given to the church. Prophecies given to the church, healing, all the gifts of the Spirit is given to the church. So then we see the infilling of the Spirit, and then we try to differentiate as to what is the difference. All right, let's look at the difference. Before Calvary, before the gift of the Spirit came, for the Bible said the Holy Ghost was not yet given. The Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. He was filled with the Holy Ghost, but he did not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Even when Mary and the mother of John came together, just hearing the words and the salutation as to the visitation of the angel, the babe leaped within the womb,
And immediately was filled with the lovely Holy Ghost, the wonderful Holy Ghost as to the Spirit of Christ, just meeting it. See, so today, that means that you can have the Holy Ghost poured out on you as to the measure of the Spirit of God and still not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's look at it. Take the virgins. We spoke of the virgins today. Five foolish virgins. Five wise virgins. The wise virgins at the midnight cry was filled with the oil of God. Even the oil of gladness. The Old Testament said, "And I will give unto you the oil of gladness." So it was given unto them as the oil of gladness in the Old Testament. It speaks of this. The virgins at the midnight cry was filled. Five of them were filled with the oil. They lit their lamps. This lighting of the lamp goes back to Pentecost. A lamp, when it is lit, it gives forth a tongue of fire. And it was lit with the tongue of fire. When this tongue of fire came, it came, as we say, denoting as that was, that I am the God of all nations. I speak your language. For they heard them speak with tongues. So at the midnight cry, the tongue of fire came. It set upon those lamp lighters, as we say. Each one arose. They trimmed their wick. And then the fire of God, the same pillar of fire that was over the tabernacle by night in the wilderness in the days of Moses, that same pillar of fire came. What was that pillar of fire? That pillar of fire that came was God. The Bible said, "I am a consuming fire." Why did he come as a pillar of fire, as something red in a blaze where you could see him like something red? Why did he do that? Because it signifies the blood of Jesus. I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there had to be a fire baptism as well as a spirit baptism and also a water baptism. The water for the body, because scientists teach that the water, that the body, the biggest part of it is water. And then that denotes the 2,000 years of the flood back in Noah's time. As to the end of the 2,000 years and the flood. And then the next thing that come on the scene, it was blood. And they offered up blood because there had to be a blood atonement of the beast that could stand in until a human sacrifice was made. And then when the human sacrifice was made, that would take care of the sins. Now you could say, well, Abel was killed. You could say many people died as human sacrifices. I know that. But see, not any of them was sufficient for the lamb without spot or wrinkle or blemish. All of those, they were not sufficient. God killed many people. He said, "I kill and I make alive." He killed many people, but not one of them was without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. But when he himself, as God, personified himself in a human body to take our suffering, he came down in the form of the Son of God. And the original rendering as to what happened when John baptized, it said, "And this tabernacle or this Son in whom I am pleased to dwell." So the fullness of God was in Jesus. For the Bible said, "God giveth not unto him the spirit by measure," but the fullness of God was there. So then from Noah over to Calvary, it is a blood sacrifice. As it was with the water in the garden, as to the mist watering the garden, then the water began to come down from heaven. We've got tapes on it where we preach this to the revelation of why. Then when it come to the end of the age, it was a great water deluge. And then on the second leg of things, which was 2,000 more years from Noah down to Calvary, there came the covering of the blood. So always Moses had the pillar of fire over the tabernacle. Now when we think of the pillar of fire and we think of the tabernacle, we think of the tent, which was the badger skins and whatever. But the real skin that was the tent was Moses on top of the mountain. That's why the mountain burned with fire. I wish I could go into this and tell it just like it is. I can't do it because of a mixed audience, but I wish I could go into it and tell it just exactly the way it is and what took place. Sometimes I do. I talk to some of the men about this. But going to what we can go to
on the top of the mountain, it was a blaze of fire. And this blaze of fire was there to show the pillar of fire over the tabernacle, in that Moses was the true tabernacle. God projected himself in Moses, and then comes Jesus like unto Moses, the prophet like unto. And then the pillar of fire moves down to the tabernacle, and there over the tabernacle, it abides over the tabernacle as a pillar of fire by night. That's what we've got to remember.
See, God said concerning your image, in that you are born as a bastard child, having no heavenly father, out of wedlock, in that Eve was deceived by the beast. Then comes the bastard child image. And God said, in the morning, I will despise your image. And then when he creates, because of the sin, he says from evening until morning, instead of one day, it's from morning until evening. Simply because the day of God is as from evening till morning. Because Adam and Eve fall, it is sin. And there is no light. The whole world is in darkness, and there is no light until the morning, and the morning doesn't come until Calvary. And it is from Calvary that the morning comes, and Christ moves into your heart. And the Bible said, until the day star dawns within your heart. And Christ is the day star. So then he said, he that overcometh, I will give unto him the bright and the morning star, which is Christ, the revelation within your heart. So when you look at the blood age, 2,000 years down to Calvary, it ends in a mass of blood. It ends in a great mass of blood. About that time, 70 AD, Titus comes in, the city is burned, people are massacred. Then it goes into the dark age, it continues in a mass of blood. So then it ends with a human sacrifice as a mass of blood, because it was a blood age. The first ended with water because it was a water age. They ate of the water. They ate of the fruit, which is a fruit of the water. But in the blood age, by the beginning of that age with Noah, he gave them another covenant, and the covenant was that they could eat of the beast's body. So then in eating of the beast's body, he said one thing, spill the blood. Don't eat of the blood, for the life is in the blood. Because there was another covenant that was yet to be given unto them, as to the water, as to the blood, and then the life. For the life is the spirit. My words are spirit, and they are life. So then the life that was in the blood, there was yet a dimensional projecting of what God was to do, because it was first water, then out of the water came the blood, and from the blood came the spirit. Or that is to say, as to the spirit with the blood, running it back the other way because it was running backwards, in that Adam had sinned against God, it is BC, before Christ, and your numerical order always goes down. You'll say, like in Solomon's day, 975 BC, and everything was split up. And then you go a little further, 721 BC, and you find that you're getting nearer the birth of Christ, but your numerical order is going down. Whereas from Calvary, your calendar goes 1, 2, 3 up. But before Calvary, it goes down. That is to say, like in 721 B.C., when finally Israel went down into bondage. Now, down into Babylon. So what I'm saying is, there is a 2,000 year span of blood. And then at the end of that, a blood deluge. And then from Calvary, coming on over to us, another 2,000 years, moving on toward the rapture or the translation of the church. This other 2,000 years, it is an angelic age. It is a spiritual age. See, one is an earthly age as to the fruits. As to the Jews, it is an earthly age of water, in that water is the life of all vegetation. Three bear witness in the earth, the water, the blood, the spirit, and these three agree in one. So that means that water is a lifeline of all vegetation, which means the natural earth. And then blood. This blood, it bears witness in the earth, because it is the lifeline also of all human anatomy or human physics. So then it answers to the beast world. And man is nothing more than a beast when he lives off of blood life.
And the whole thing as to blood life means, as in the days that we're living in, the physicians always searching for life, wanting to perfect life, wanting to bring about life. But when it comes to the blood life, you have the blood life, you have 2,000 years of the blood life. And in this blood life, you have this as beast life. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. And that is why that all of the people of the entire world dies. All of the people of the earth dies. They die for what reason? Because they are nothing more than beast. They've been brought down to the beast level. And when they rejected the tree of life, going to the tree of knowledge, they did that. They rejected the tree of life in that the word of life spoke to them through God. Eve rejected that, she died. Because the day that she rejected that, she listened to the beast which gave forth the word of knowledge. And the Bible said to be carnally minded is death. And now all humanity hath the sentence of death within them, Paul said. So then we see that with this, with the blood life, it ends in a great deluge at Calvary. And in the ending of the blood life, we see then all humanity is dead. By the fall of Adam, they are dead and they are in the darkness. And the darkness extends over to Calvary as to the morning, the beginning of the day. In the morning I will despise thine image, because it is a fallen image. It is a bastard image. It came through the beast, the regime of the beast. And God, when he brings the light of Calvary, as to you who are children of the day, because you've come into that of the day star. See, you can see. But the children of this world, their eyes are blinded by Lucifer, the prince of darkness, even the prince of this world, that they cannot see, even as to their eyes of understanding. Being darkened, they are found in the dark. But we are the light of the world. So Jesus came as the light of the world, and then as the old lamp lighter years ago would light the little candle lights along the streets, we are the lighters. We are the great lighters. As the candle power increases from the beginning of mankind, so then we increase. That being a type unto the great light, even as they come into the illumination of the lights of the electron forces of today, we're coming more into a compiled effort of a great and mighty light as to be a light of the world. And the Bible said, so let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So then the five wise virgins, they had the light. They had the light. They had this light. That tongue of fire lit their lamps. They had the light at the midnight cry. And the midnight cry is the change as to Calvary. You know not that he come, whether at the midnight cry or at the cock crowing. So since it is the change at the midnight cry, we see something that's happening and something that I could elaborate on in Revelation all night long. So as to the first watch, the second watch, or whatever it be according to the Jewish watch, we see then that their candle is lit. Whereas the Bible said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And he said, for you to be diligent, lest I come and move your candlestick. Strengthen those things that are remaining, he said, or I'll come and move your candlestick, which is your light, your life, your spirit. Because when life is gone, you're in darkness, in the grave, buried down in the ground. So then we see that life is light, and light is life as to the light of mankind. So from this point as becoming Christians, there is now another covenant made. And this is with another people, as the water, a lifeline to the world of the natural, as the blood, a lifeline to the world of human physics, the animal world, and then another life, which is the Spirit, the great Spirit of Christ, the great Spirit of life. This is an angelic world, and this is the Spirit, the lifeline to the angelic world. And you are angelic. The Bible teaches that they that are born of God are equal to the angels. They cannot die at death. That is to consider yourself dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus, buried in water baptism in his name, resurrected in the newness of life. You are now no longer a living soul, but a quickening spirit.
and God never sees your natural man again. He's hid it beneath the water and beneath the blood, and the blood represented the fire baptism to burn out the chaff, and he moved your sins by the blood of Jesus, which means the chaff is gone. He consumed it by the blood of Jesus. So then this pillar of fire being over the tabernacle of Moses was a pillar of fire by night. We saw the same thing with Brother Branham coming as being a prophet of this age and representing that on the other side of Calvary as to the folding up of the law and laying it away, and many things that we could say about that. Even the book that Rebecca has just published, this new book she's come out with. Something just happened on this trip around the world. It involves you, Brother Taylor. Maybe we'll get to talk. It involves the people. So then when we see this great pillar of fire, the great tongues of fire, here it set upon each of them. Why did it set upon each of them? To show that they themselves are the tabernacle. Every person that the tongue of fire went upon, it means he is the tabernacle. He is the tabernacle. Wherever that pillar of fire appears, he is the tabernacle. And the Pentecostal people got mixed up by saying you have to speak in tongues, not understanding the blood of the Lord Jesus and what God was doing. And they went off into a sect by themselves. See, that's all right. They love the Lord. They're wonderful people. But they just don't understand. But see, it's so wonderful when you really understand and you see what God was doing. It's so wonderful. So Solomon said, with wisdom, get understanding. So then we see that this great pillar of fire was upon the tabernacle. And even in our day, we see it that it was upon Brother Branham. That is, that it was shown in that it was on the other side of Calvary as to the folding of the law, that to be laid away, and they come along with what they call the quotes and made it a law as to the killing instead of life, as to the words of life, as to the quickening of the spirit. And of course, I just wish we had time to preach to you all night like Paul did to explain what we're saying here. But I'm going to try to hurry along a few more things. I can't just stop anywhere because these things go on tape and people have to understand these things. So if you have to leave, I understand that. All right, so when we say these things, that brings us up to Calvary. Now then, Calvary being here, a new day has come. It is now morning. God doesn't despise our image because he has seen us as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as the body of the Lord Jesus, which means we have a heavenly Father, a divine conception of that which is truth, and now we are a manifested image of the beloved Son of God. Though if you looked at me at the flesh, and I looked at you at the flesh, I would see of you as you would see of me, a bastard child. Because in your birth, first birth, I don't care how pretty you think your hair is and you play with it, you know, and how much you powder your nose and paint your eyes like a lizard and all them kind of things. It doesn't matter. You're still a bastard child image, and God hates your image. You may think you're so beautiful. You can play the piano. You can play the guitar. You're just predestined to be a president. You're a great celebrity or whatever you're going to be, but you are a bastard in his sight. You don't have a heavenly father. You were born out of wedlock. You're nothing more than a beast. And he doesn't care for you at all. Now someone said, well, I think he loves me. He loved you enough to kill you. He completely killed you. And he said, reckon yourselves to be dead. And if you're not dead, then that means that there's coming another day when he will kill you and you will be dead. So you that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he killed you through the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot save you. He cannot remake you. He cannot pretty you up. He cannot process you. He can only kill you because you are of the beast. So he killed you by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered for our offenses. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin as to your outer body, and alive unto God as to the resurrected Christ that was brought up for our deliverance, as to our justification, as to your inner man. At death, your body went into the grave and your spirit went back to God who gave it. And today we are they that dwell in heaven, not to know anybody after the flesh. We only see your spirit, as to know you after the spirit. If you are a child of God, according to your measure, as to your growth, even as the measure of life in a child is unto the manhood and the growth. Growing from one stage of life to another. We behold you this way. We work with you as a father in the gospel this way, and that Jesus said, feed my lambs. And we try to indoctrinate you
But the world is so busy. All they want to hear is rock and roll, which is a killer. All they want to see is the TV, which is a killer. All they want to do is hear the jumble up talk of boys and girls and gossip and backbiting and laughing and cursing and mocking, which is death. All they want to hear is the jumble up things as to their human hearing and the feelings of the infatuations of the flesh, as the human sensation, as to the passions of the body, as to eating and to drinking, as to spending their will and going on, and not knowing that the devil, the prince of this world, hath bound them with all of these thoughts and hath their body in captivity and is using their body for his own will. And soon they will breathe their last breath, and because he is one with them, they will sink into the flames of hell to never start over again. So then we see the last thing of this, the pillar of fire, there is to be a change. Why is there to be a change? At Calvary, there is a change. It comes not as a pillar of fire by night, because there is no more night. When they cross the Jordan, which has to do with Calvary, the conquering of death, on the other side, not Jesus, but the Spirit. It's not the body of Jesus as under sacrifice, but it is the Christ under resurrection, which is the Joshua that went over the Jordan. And as I say, you might not can understand this because I cannot speak too freely concerning it. But it was of the Testament, and this is biblical teachings, you can read it, that if a man's stones be broken, he could not enter into the congregation of the righteous. And it was given there on the mountain as to two stones, and these stones as to production of life. And when Moses, who led these people out of Egypt into the wilderness, came down, these people were sinning. They had built a golden calf, and Moses threw the stone down and broke the stone. And in this, it indicated the broken covenant as to the broken stone, and that they could not enter into the congregation of the righteous. So God let the earth open up and swallow them up. And then when it came down to the Jordan, Moses could not go over because of the broken stone. He could not go over to enter into the congregation of the righteous, which was considered to be so in the land of Canaan on the other side of Jordan. That means to say, if you break the covenant of God, you can't enter into the world of life. We could say a lot more things about that, but it would take a long time. And I'm going to try to come around to finish answering our question. Now, so you see that it is now not a pillar of fire by night, because in the morning, which is after Calvary, it will be light. The virgins have lit their lamps. They have lit their lamps, and now there is light. The church is the light of the world. So then, that means that there are some virgins that are represented by the church that are people who have light. And there are other virgins, as to the five virgins, which are represented by the Jews that did not have the infilling of the Spirit on the other side of Calvary as to the gift. And they went into darkness. They arose, but they couldn't recognize the Messiah. They arose at the midnight cry, but they couldn't light their lamps. And today they're still wailing at the wailing walls. They are in darkness. They do not know that Jesus is the Messiah. Someone asked the question like this. They say, but Brother Pike, the foolish virgins apparently had oil, because it said their oil had given out. So then what do we do with this? See, it's very obvious that God is speaking as he does in Paul's writings. Whereas the Spirit of God is poured out upon all people. It's poured out upon all people. Even the Spirit of God came unto Moses and the others. It is poured out upon all people. And the Bible said you are made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and can still taste of the Holy Ghost, the power of the good Word of God in the world to come, and still fall away and be eternally damned. Now, so that means that you can be filled with the Spirit, or you can have the Spirit poured out upon you. In the Old Testament, John's father prophesied. He was filled with the Spirit, but he didn't have the gift of the Spirit. And when Peter speaks of this in the book of Acts, he said, and when God's Spirit moved upon David and the others, he called it the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ, as moving upon them, signifying as to such a day when these things would come to pass, as to the fulfillment of the words of the great King. So then we understand by this that they were filled with the Spirit, but it came upon them as the wind that blows through the house or upon the house, and it was gone. But you that have the gift of the Spirit, he said to you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It can't be gone. It is the gift of the Spirit, which is eternal life. Because the blood has been applied to your heart, and the pillar of fire to the tongues of fire moved upon them to show the infilling of the indwelling of the great and mighty Spirit. As to the wind, you know not where it comes from or to where it goes, Jesus said. And the great wind moved at the day of Pentecost. So then that means that you need to be filled with the Spirit of God if you want eternal life. You have to be filled with God's Spirit. And if you don't have His Spirit, then you're none of His. To be just say, I'm a believer, is not sufficient. So we see there is a definite difference. See, it speaks in the New Testament of tarrying until you be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with power from on high. Many times they tarried to get a new infilling of the Spirit, but they already had the gift of eternal life. That's why there's not much power in the church today. You don't see a lot of power demonstrated. It's not because the people of the church don't have the gift of the Spirit. They do, for the Bible said, repent every one of you as to Pentecost, the first church, 3,000 added unto it, Peter having the keys to the kingdom. Said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it's unto you and unto your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as to our day here that the Lord God should call. So then in this, we see them being baptized and God saying, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and unto your children, and all afar off shall come to pass, whosoever have called for the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul, be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, wash away your sins. In that remission of sin is by the preacher. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. And he said, beginning at Jerusalem and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, remission shall be taught in the name of Jesus. And he said, and they shall be baptized. Peter said, repent, be baptized for the remission of sin. Because remission means that when the body, which is the corruptible part, as the first man Adam, the living soul, that which is sinful, when it is buried in the watery grave, then God considers you dead, but the body of His Son, you're now buried in that water as a barrel for Salus, and you are now buried, and God never sees you never again. When you come up out of the water, it is not the man that went down in the water. He never sees that man again. He only looks beyond that as to the Thessalonian chains, which where you are bone of the bone of Jesus and flesh of the flesh of Jesus. And as Peter said, if this tabernacle, my body, be dissolved, I have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. Speaking of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are the body and bone of Him. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ. So then we see what God has done. He hath hid our body, and our spirit went away to God, in that today we are a spiritual being, the second man Adam, a quickening spirit. We're now born to the second man Adam, and by the washing of the regeneration, we come out of one generation, we've moved to another generation as to the washing of the water of the Spirit. And the same thing as we spoke of Brother Branham is a present day truth. That's why the Lord showed me the great vision of the bright, bright day that we're over Calvary. And the message is life and not death. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. And that when I looked and I saw the great pillar of fire in heaven, that when it came down, the fire left it, and it was nothing but a cloud over my head. See, because it was a pillar of fire by night. But now we're children of the day, and the fire is gone. That was to burn the chaff out, and there is no chaff now. For he that is born of God cannot sin. He keepeth himself. The evil one touches him not. So it was a pillar of cloud upon my head. And when I said to God, what is this pillar of cloud? I said, this come all the way down out of heaven. I saw it in this bright day. And I heard a voice say, when the cloud is over the tabernacle, Peter said, this tabernacle. When it is over the tabernacle, said, God is in the tabernacle. And said, it is a pillar of cloud because, son, it is now day. So you're children of the day, as to the day star dawning. That means that a great, mighty thing has happened in your life. This is why that I exhort you as youth to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I am eternally alive. I've discovered the secret. I've already found the secret of eternal life and the secret so that men don't have to die at all, even to be put in a casket. See, so I am as Moses on the mountain when Moses found this great wonderful thing. He discovered that life. And though he did not go over Jordan as to what they judged, yet he was well over the Jordan and he was with Elijah there in glory when they saw him on the Mount of Transfiguration. And that is as to his body. And when Enoch went away, he did not die. The Bible said it was translated that he should not see death. And Paul said, I show you a secret. We shall not all see death or sleep or die. So then that means a Thessalonian change is coming. Some great and mighty things is happening because in this age it is revealed to the youth. The elders will die in their Pentecostal teachings, in their Baptist, Methodist, all their church teachings, Catholic teachings. They'll die in that wilderness wandering of never coming to the truth, ever learning and never coming to the truth. But the children of those people will come out and they'll get the revelation of what God was trying to tell their fathers. And in that the earth opened up and swallowed the elders, and not any of them that came out of Egypt went into Canaan. So your body that's made out of dust as to the elders that cannot come into this revelation, that body will swallow you up with the gullible desires of materialistic values and hunger and thirst as to your materialistic hunger. And you'll be swallowed up by that body. Your spiritual life will be swallowed up, and you'll never get over the intellectual mind of the wilderness wandering of death. For the carnal mind is to the tree of knowledge as to ever learning. That is to say, to be carnally minded is death. So the youth will rise up. There'll be a group that's coming in, and they're coming in fast. In the Philippines, there were so many of them, boys and girls. And I mean, they're just waiting for us to come over there and help to blaze the trail to this revelation. They just love it. So then on the home front, we're trying to do the same thing. It's to stir the move of those that are coming in, that they may escape the death of the elders. For behold, I show you a mystery, Paul said. And the Bible said, he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Revelation as to 10. Revelation 10, it says, and when the last trumpet sounds, the mystery of God should be finished. For great is the mystery of godliness. And Paul said, I am a steward of those mysteries. So then when we come to the Spirit, we see then there is a difference in the infilling of the Spirit. And the reason there's not power in the church today is not because they don't have the Spirit, because at the baptism, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, then you shall receive power. But power is virtue. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And so then you have the Spirit to receive power, but you have to subject your body to the Spirit, to where the Spirit has perfect control of you, to be virtuous like those virgins, to be virtuous, to come out from the world and be a separate people and to be holy in body and in spirit, that you might have that virtue stored up in your body. For the Bible said the little woman touched Jesus' garment and the virtue went out and healed her. And the Bible said virtue went out of him, healing all of the sick people. You have to build that virtue. You have to have that virtue. See, by being a virtuous person, you have to do that. There's what the Bible calls a righteous man. And then there's what the Bible calls a holy man. So you may be a righteous person as to being born again and having the Spirit, but you are not a holy person. When he speaks of the holy people, he said, my holy apostles and prophets. And he tells you to be holy in body and in spirit. And though we be holy in spirit and holy in body as to him seeing us through Christ as a finished product, yet we're not holy in body to the extent that we've not sanctified ourselves daily to submit ourselves to come out from the world, that our body will be strictly meditating in his laws day and night, bringing every thought into subjection, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. See, just to think and meditate in God all the time, that it be not you living, but Christ. And we could go on and go on as a comment as to the difference, differentiating, but I've kept you a little long. I didn't mean to keep you near so long tonight, but when I got into this, I couldn't stop because I have to have it on tape. It will get the people into a wilderness, sure enough, if I don't clarify on this on tape. This is made to bring you out of the wilderness. So to you that are my children here, or you that are my followers as my disciples to Christ, go into all the world, make disciples of the men, the women. So then ye that belong to us through Christ, following me as I follow Christ, then I say to you that we've come into a great revelation, a great thing. It is now day, and the cloud is now upon the tabernacle, not as a pillar of fire, but night as to the wrath of God, to burn the chaff, or to fight the enemies of the people of God, as to the true Jew, you inwardly. So then it is the pillar of light as to the revelation, not as the blood concealing the life, as the word, the spirit, but the blood spilt, and now the life, which is the light, which is the cloud without fire, the life out of the blood, not as the beast or in the blood realm, as to which Adam had fallen, but as to the Christ life and to the restoration, as to the angelic life, to bring back the restoration of the garden as to the millennium. Let's everybody stand together. A lot of things we could say, a lot of things would take hours and days and weeks and months and years. God on one occasion talked to Moses 80 days and nights. On one occasion, he talked to Paul after Paul had studied for many years, even at the feet of Gamaliel, was a scholar of the Bible. He still talked to Paul more than 3 years. More than 3 years. He took Elijah away and communicated with Elijah. More than 3 years. Pulled him away in solitude. And then we wonder why that in 45 minutes to an hour we don't get a diplomacy from heaven. Even the natural world knows it takes many days in kindergarten, many days in elementary school, many days in college before they can ever have a mind as to the mind of this world, to be about the business of this world, that they might excel from the things of this world. So that it's so beautiful to know that we are the chosen and we are living in this age of the light. I'm sure that many of you don't understand what I'm saying, but that's why I've got it on tape, that you can go back to it, hear it, relate to it, hear it over and over, and God can open your mind. The veil is now rent. I know many of you don't understand, but many of you do understand. Many of you do understand. You that don't understand, follow the Lord anyway. Just listen to the shepherd. There are some that wants to get baptized. As a matter of fact, the little lady that's with Gracie, I understand she wants to get baptized. Is that correct? Have you surrendered your heart to the Lord? While we're singing tonight, let me give you a chance to really surrender your heart to the Lord. The most beautiful thing you ever done in your life is to give yourself to God, and immediately from that very moment, you don't wait till you get over yonder before God at the judgment. From that very moment, you get eternal life right then and there. You can never lose it. It can never be taken away from you. So he that is born of God cannot sin. The devil can't touch him. So it's not even left up to him to live right, even though God requires him to live the best he can. Yet it's not left up to him to live right as an eternal life. Jesus finished that before the foundation of the world. It's not of work. It's just faith that brings the Spirit into your spirit to purify you in your heart. So, seeing that we are children of the day, then let us be zealous for God. There were some others that wanted to be baptized. There was a number of others that's asked to be baptized, Brother Richard Stafford wanted to be rebaptized, and there were some others that want to be baptized. And I'm still waiting for Brother Antlin and him to finish my baptismal pool right here in front of this thing. Really isn't that much to do. But somehow the devil, he'll get your
turned around your mind, and He'll cause you to forget for days and days the things that are so needful. Brother Beach isn't idle in his time. He's fixing some doors down at the Parsons that's really needed. But we need to be about the Father's work. There's so many carpenters, and they could help instead of making one man do it all. One man do it all. God rewards you according to your labor, and that you're not a doer of the word, just a hearer only. You're brought into judgment. You're lost. And you don't do anything to expedite the gospel or to help people, even as the baptismal pool to remit people's sins. You don't do anything in God's behalf. And as it was with Noah, had he not built the ark, the world would have been lost. Been no more world. You and I wouldn't have been here. So to do something natural for God is to a spiritual purpose and cause. So many electricians, so many carpenters, so many different people that can do so many different things. But you won't give me a helping hand. But Gideon's little few, they'll be blessed. And they'll be the ones that'll have the eternal reward. Can we sing a little chorus together? Let's sing I Love Him. Can you sing that with me, folks?
I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary.
Ain't you glad that you are a Christian? And ain't you glad you're alive in this age? Brother Lynn, ain't you glad you're alive in this age? Jesus said many great and mighty men desired the things that you see and never did get to see them. Let's sing again, can we?
Every promise in God's book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine.
Can you give Him a wave offering? Every promise in the book, it is thine. Sing it again.
Every promise in the book, it is thine. Can you give Him a wave offering? Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the Word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine.
Registration for school will be tomorrow, Thursday, September the 1st at 11 o'clock a.m. at the multipurpose building. If you have anybody to enroll you. You love the Lord? One more time.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Sing it again. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. The altars are open. If you'd like to come to the altar, then you may. Now I'm happy all the day. Love Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus. He was there all the time. Can you sing that with me? He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Sing it with me, everybody, sing it with me. Let's come down to the altar, can we? He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there Sing it with me, folks. Can't you sing it with me? Jesus was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there. Sing it one more time with me. You've never given the Lord a chance at your heart. While they're playing and while we're singing, now's a good time. Tell me something. What is there better than serving God? If you want a business, if you want to be a celebrity, if you'd like to be a dignitary, what can you hope to obtain that's as good as eternal life? You can't even get anything as good as eternal life, let alone better. Out of all of your endeavors to the world, when you become a great celebrity, you become a great person of renown, you become a great person, you know, you lift weights, you build your body, you have a beautiful figure, as the world says, you have a pretty face, you have plenty of money, you have everything in the world. When you get every bit of it, then the worms will celebrate, because it won't be long. It won't be long, because by the time you get all of that, they'll have a celebration, because they'll know the day is drawing near for the picnic. Let's give the Lord a hand. They'll dig a hole, and they'll throw you into the hole, and the worms will eat you. And as Solomon said, with all of your wisdom and all that you've gotten, he said, who knows but what you'll leave it to a fool. So then sing this with me. Can you sing it with me? He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Jesus was there. Sing it again. Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Waiting patiently in line, he was there. We sang this little chorus the other night. I really like this one. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city. Can you sing it with me? The Lord is preparing. Gives me faith that I will make it after all. Sing it again. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. Try it again. When I stand upon the mountain, porch that he's prepared. Oh, so tall. Looking, that my Lord gives me faith. Can you sing it with me again? Or after all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and to stand upon the mountain on some wall, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it. I want you to think about that. We are actually looking over into the city. How many believe that we're looking over into the city? The Lamb is the light thereof. Looking over into the city. The one that the Lord said, if I go away, I'll prepare a place for him. That the Lord is preparing. When I think about his grace, his mercy, it gives me faith. It gives me faith. It encourages me to believe that I can make it after all. Can you sing it again with me? For after all this life it's over, and my burdens have been lifted, and we stand upon the mountain also tall. Look he's preparing gives me faith that I can. You keep singing it with me. For after all, the life is over and my burdens are lifted, and to stand upon the mountain also, looking over into the city. But my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I, just one more time with me. After all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Let's sing another chorus too before we dismiss, can we?
I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white and ready when the bride. Can you sing it with me? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bride. Sing it with me again. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bride? Be it morning, and I'm ready for the bride. Let's sing it again, Brother Taylor. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Let's get ready for the bridegroom to come. Let's get ready for the bridegroom to come. Be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready. Can you sing it with me? Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready. Somebody say I love you, Jesus. Let's give him a hand, can you? Oh, get ready for the bridegroom to come. Better get ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all resting spotless white, and we're ready. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, get ready for the bridegroom to come. Bridegroom to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bridegroom. Can you sing it one more time? I am ready for my Savior to come. I am ready for my Savior to come. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for God. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Jesus gave her water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't.
Can you sing it with me?
For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well.
Let's sing this little chorus together. We're going to try to let you go right away. Now let's just sing this together.
They'll come from the east and the west.
Sing it with me now.
They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine.
Sing it again now.
For they'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine.
Let's sing one more chorus and we'll dismiss.
And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more, for the angels stand on the sea and the land. And time,
can you sing that with me? I believe it's getting close.
For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more, for the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time,
sing it again.
For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more, for the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time
Sing it again with me. Revelation 10. Man, time shall be. Can you lift up your hand? More, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land. And time, the Bible said, and he shall swear, lift up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time shall be no more. Remember what we preached to you about time, where time come from, what time is, and how time is diminishing. Sing it again. Lift up your hands to heaven. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Angels shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Sing it one more time with me. Lift your hands up to God. And time, my friend, is no more, no more. And time is now no more. As the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time, my friend, is. Sing it with me now. And time's no more, no more, no more. And time, my friend's no more. As the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time, time is no more. Can you sing it again with me? And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land and time. Can you sing it one more time like this? And time's no more, no more, no more. And time, my friends, no more. For the angel, he stands on the sea and the land, and time, my friend, is no more. You're not time creatures. If you're not time creatures and you pass from time, from death unto life, in that time is what brought death, then let's sing it one more time together and I'm going to close. For time, my friend, is no more, no more. And time, time's no more. The angel, he stands on the sea, the land, and time shall be. Just one more time. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Can you say amen? Lift your hands, close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Washington to come up if he will. And while Brother Washington prays with us, let's remember that time is no more. For you and I, time is no more. I can prove that. Time is no more. Time is for those that are alive in the earth. But you are dead with the body of the Lord Jesus. And it's not you living but Christ, and he dwells in heaven. For the heavens have received him, and he dwells within the Spirit.
and you're a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And when you pass from the scene, you died to time. And time is no more. No more. No more. You are now a creature, not of faith, or rather not of time, but of faith. You are a creature of faith, not of time. So then in that you are a creature of faith, the just shall live by faith. There is no death in faith. So then you are a creature of faith. To believe eternal, you have passed from time, from death unto life, from the mortality of Adam as to a living soul, to the immortality of Jesus Christ, even as a quickening spirit. All of they that have been born of the Spirit have passed from the world of time. And time is no more for you. So then, let's never think of ourselves as in the realm of time. For we have passed from death unto life. And we are living eternal, immortal, celestial creatures of God. Let's give him a hand, can you? All right, as our brother comes to pray with you, you remember Brother Price.